So this is the third quarter session, 40s and 50s. I'm not going to say what Stephen said that made it sound like it was a bad thing to be in this group. This is a good thing. I know. I was just going to say, I think that you all are the biggest age group in the whole prayer band. So that's wonderful. Yes. So, all right. Let's go ahead and pray, and then when they get more handouts and chairs back there, we'll make sure everybody's taken care of and we'll get started. All right, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for every season of our lives that you give to us. And Lord, for these ladies in this third quarter of their lives, I pray that the things that we discuss today would give them encouragement, it would refresh them as they think about even going home at the end of this weekend and living a life that would glorify you. I pray that you would help them to be alert and stay awake and just to be really encouraged and have their eyes turned to Christ. Lord, it's all about you. May you be exalted in our time together, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, when I heard that this was the third quarter group that I get to speak to, I thought, you know what's so good about the third quarter of a ball game? It comes right after halftime. And halftime is a blast, right? I saw some ladies over here doing this. They're doing the wave. You know, we could do the wave all the way across. But halftime is a good thing. But halftime only lasts for 13 minutes. We have 45 minutes together, so let's buckle our seatbelts and really, let's just really get to the heart of what God's Word says about this phase and this season of your life. And you know what? You are in the best season. You know why? You are alive. You know Christ as your Savior, I trust. And He has given you this day, this moment, right now. And so right now is the best moment of your life. Amen. Right now. Amen. And in 5 minutes, that will be the best moment of your life. That's the perspective that I'm going to help you have as you go through this season of your life. My name is Denise Cunningham. I am the small servant of a great God, and I am glad to be able to encourage you today. So open your Bible to Colossians chapter 3, and we're going to look at some things that the Lord wants to tell us about our lives right now and then going into the days ahead. I don't know about you, but I enjoy fashion. I enjoy, like, you know, wardrobe selection and that kind of thing. When I got to thinking about 40s and 50-year-olds, I thought, you know what, really, we need to think about ourselves as the classic look. You know, there are classics. I think maybe Talbot's names themselves as having the classic wardrobe. And those are things that never go out of style. You have a classic black dress. You have classic little pumps, black shoes, pearls, never go out of style. A trench coat, you're always in style. And there are some things that I want to encourage you about when we first start off, that there are some things in your life that will never change, no matter how old you get. So if you look at your handout, and again, Kelly, do you have those now? Okay, so if you don't have a handout, raise your hand, and Kelly, it's a gray sweater, she'll get one to you. Okay, so maybe just keep your hand up and she'll get to you. So look at your handout. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 is where we get these truths. So first of all, I am alive in Christ. If you know Christ as your Savior, these five things are true of you. Number two, I am to live for eternity. Number three, I am to reflect Christ by putting off the old man. Number four, I am to be spiritually beautiful. And number five, I am to be learning, obeying, and sharing the Word of God. Those things will never change about you, no matter how old you get. That's who you are. This is you right here, the classic you. And that will always be the same. But let's look at the scriptures and see what it says. Let's look at chapter 3. Let's read 1 through 4. If you then be risen with Christ, and the word if means since. Since you have been risen with Christ, in other words, since you have a relationship with him, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. So no matter how old you are, the first thing that we want to see is that you are alive in Christ. He is your Savior. And so you came out of the deadness of your sin, and now you are raised alive in him. All the old things, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us, old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. So the old person, the old man is dead, and now you are to live for Christ. And I love that phrase in verse 4 when it says, when Christ, who is your life. If you were to describe yourself to somebody else, we should be able to say, oh, they tell me something about yourself. You should be able to say, Christ is my everything. That's what that means. Christ is my life. He is my everything. When he is our life. So what will, if since you're alive in Christ, how are you going to display that? Now, let me explain this for a second. I'm a visual learner. So I have my wardrobe up here. And I think, you know, when you're in your 20s and you're going to wear the classic outfit, you're going to change it up a little bit. You're going to have a different, maybe you have a long dangle pearl earring, or you might have flashy bracelets or rings on your hand, or you might have a different style of a black shoe. But as you age, you might wear this classic outfit a little differently, right? An 80-year-old woman would definitely have a sweater on over this. She's cold all the time. But so how we live out our Christian life and what that's going to look like is going to be all those essential things are always the same. But the way we are able to display it to the world will look a little different every season of our lives. And so we're going to specify what does it look like in the third quarter. First of all, because you're alive in Christ, don't ever forget the ditch from which you were dug. This is what keeps us grounded. It also keeps us humble when we realize the old person that I was before I got saved, even if you were saved as a child, you were a selfish little girl. You always wanted your way. Don't forget where you came from. Don't forget that you were that person who was an enemy of God. Don't forget that. I'm alive in Christ now. That doesn't puff my head up, but it makes me humble. It makes me realize that I owe everything to Christ. And then the next thing, don't stay a spiritual babe. You're maturing in your body, and your age is getting greater and greater. Your spirituality should be growing as well. So now that you're in your 40s and 50s in this third quarter, you should be maturing by eating even more mature spiritual food. I like the daily bread devotional, but that is not going to make you a solid, grounded Christian if that's all you eat all your Christian life. That's a good little thought for the day, and it might give you a little boost. You need to be getting deeper and deeper into the Word as you mature. You need deep spiritual food that is going to enrich you. If you've never read through the Bible before, challenge yourself that this year I'm going to read through the Bible and I'm going to learn the attributes of my God as I read through each book. Do some book studies, like studying the book of Philippians or Colossians, the epistles that Paul has written. Do some of those. And ladies, can I just encourage you, know your doctrine. Have good theology. Who is God? Because that is what's going to stabilize you when all of the trials that come into your path, it's going to keep you steady and it's going to keep you from falling apart. You will not fall apart if you know who your God is. Read good books that are going to stretch you. Books about who your God is. Books that make you dive deeper into the Word. And also don't neglect memorizing Scripture. That's not just for the little kids in Awana. We need to be memorizing scripture as we continue to age. And listen, don't tell me you can't memorize. You can learn what you can memorize what you want to memorize. Put it to a song if you need to. You can remember a song. We make excuses for it. We say, I'm just not good. Listen, I lose my car at Walmart. I did that just a couple weeks ago, and I thought, somebody's watching me. You know, you're walking, and you know, somebody's sitting in their car, and they're like, a lady can't find her car. That was me. I have a horrible memory when it comes to things like that. But I want, by the grace of God, to continue to memorize His Word. And if you struggle with that, most of us do. There's a really good book by Janet Pope called His Word in My Heart. And she gives some very easy tips about that. It's never going to be an easy thing because it's a spiritual battle. But she gives you some good ideas about how she learned books of the Bible. And you talk about learning books in context. The scripture, you're reading it in context, you're memorizing it in context. And then don't forget that your identification is in Christ. As women, it's so easy for us to find our identity in our role. I'm a teacher. I'm a mother. That's a big one. We find our kids, we want our kids to need us. Or I'm a wife, or I am a pastor's wife. Whatever your title is, I have a position, I'm a professional in this area. But why can't we get our identity out of those roles? Because one day, that is not going to be our title anymore. One day when your children move out and have an independent life of their own and you are left at home, if your identity has been only the fact that you are a mother and you know how to take care of them and you know how to get them dressed and how to pack their suitcase and, you know, all the things that mothers do, when they're gone, you're going to fall apart. But if your security is in the classic understanding that you are identified by the person of Christ, that will never change. And so then as you go into this third quarter, you're like, okay, my kids are gone. This gives me new opportunities. So don't let your identity be in any of the roles that you carry as a woman, because they will all change. That identity in Christ is to be your core identity. Think of it as the, what do you call the wardrobe? You have like 10 items. Capsule wardrobe. That is like your capsule identity is you are in Christ. What do you think about when you think of the fact that you are in Christ? Do you understand that phrase? I hope you do. That would be a good thing to really dig in and study if you don't understand that. It's the fact that when I think of that, the fact that I am in Christ, I know that when God sees me, He doesn't see me. He sees Christ, and then He sees me. He sees me through His perfect Son who died for me, and now I'm redeemed through the person of Christ. I am in Christ. What a blessed position that is. So that is who I am. That's why we start with that as our core identity. All right, so number two, the next core value of our lives is that I am to live for eternity. Look at verse 2 of chapter 3. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. That is remembering, oh, eternity is just ahead of me. And as we age, we do think more about that. And I'm not being gloom and doom, but every day is a gift from God. We don't know what tomorrow holds. I was so saddened. Many of you probably have heard about the student at Pensacola yesterday, 19 years old, was tragically killed by a drunk driver while he was working on an off-site campus facility. 19. And he probably thought he had, you know, years and years to live. but we are to be living for eternity. That's always to be in our view. Not that we are living like gloom and death, but realizing, okay, one day I am going to stand before the Lord. Am I going to give an account for my sin? No. That's been taken care of. I am in Christ, right? But I will stand before the Lord and give an account for how I have lived my Christian life. What have I done with the spiritual gifts that God gave me the moment that I got saved? How am I living for eternity? So some of those things that we do to live for eternity is to let Christ be the motivation for all you do. The love of Christ constrains me. It's easy for us to let people be our motivation. They drive us. You know, we have a job maybe, and the boss is our motivation that we need to do this next thing. Or maybe we're comparing ourselves to somebody else, and that's our motivation. It's like, I want to be a little more like them, or a little better than they are, or have more than they have. But that's not the right motivation. Christ is to be the motivation of my life, because I'm going to stand before him one day, and I'm going to give an account for my life. And also, in living for eternities, we're to let the things of this world grow dim. You know that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus? Look in his face. Let the things of this world go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's so easy in our country to live for the American dream. And we do compare ourselves maybe even to our neighbor, and we think, you know, oh, they've got a gazebo in their backyard. Okay, what can we put in our backyard? We're living for retirement. We think, oh man, 5 more years and I'm going to be able to retire. Well, wonderful if you get to retire, but how can you use your retirement for eternity? That always has to be in our mind and in our heart. I'm living for eternity. Are you investing in eternity? Are you sharing the gospel with the people that God has put in your path? You realize that your neighbors are your neighbors, so you can evangelize them. My husband always says, you don't go to the grocery store to get a gallon of milk. No, you need milk because somebody there needs the gospel. So when you're there and you're making conversation with them, I'm going to talk about this a little bit in the other workshop that I'm doing about femininity, but it's easy for us as women. We strike up a conversation with the lady that's getting a gallon of milk next to us, right? And we're friends by the time we leave the store. Have you shared the gospel with her in some way? Does she know just by talking to you in those few minutes that you are in Christ? Now, you don't have to say that, but you can share the light. And people around us need hope. They need hope. This world is full of people that are hopeless. So how can you invest in other people for eternity? And you know what? For every lady seated in each chair, it looks different for you, how you're going to display that. But I promise you, if you just pray and say, Lord, will you give me an opportunity to share Christ with someone today? He will. Be ready. Be ready. This week, and I'm not very good at this. I have to really, like, I want to just, oh, my husband is one of these outgoing people and knows everybody by the time we leave a restaurant. And I'm not that way. But the other day I was at Walgreens, and this lady had kind of messed up my photo order. And she said, oh, this has just been the worst day ever. She said, all of our cash registers went down just a little bit ago, and now the photo thing is having problems. Oh, tomorrow is sure to be a better day. Surely it's going to be a better day. And I reached in my purse, and I gave her a gospel tract that says, how is your relationship with God? And I said, I can promise you that you can have a better day for all eternity if you know Christ as your Savior. God let my photo get messed up, I really believe, just so that lady could hear the gospel. I could see in her face that it was like she didn't understand. I said, this is a really good question. How is your relationship with God? If you'll read this, you can find out how you can have a relationship with him. But we need to be investing in eternity. And then number 3, we are to reflect Christ by putting off the old man. Look at verse 5. Mortify. That means to kill. Therefore, your members which are upon the earth, like fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, which is just passionate desires, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Jump down to verse 8. But now ye also put off all these. Oh, these are ones that could be pretty familiar. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing ye have put off the old man. Put it off. And this isn't just taking the telltale signs of our aging right here in our face, like, oh yeah, I need a new cream. That old man, she keeps creeping up every morning when I look in the mirror. It's not that, but it's taking off the old nature. It's been killed. It was crucified with Christ. We read that in verse 1. That old man is dead. But if by my will I allow it to rise up and to dominate my day, I've not put off the old man. And so I have to ask myself, am I doing things that are not showing that I've put off that old man? Our spiritual age and our maturity can be evidenced by the things that we wear in our life, what we're doing. It's the actions that we have. Can you imagine wearing, can you think of a trendy piece of clothing that maybe you wore when you were a teenager? Can you imagine wearing that to the grocery store this week? I know, it's funny, isn't it? We wouldn't do that. But sometimes we go back to our old wardrobe, if you will, the old man, and we are angry and we are full of malice. We want to get even with somebody who's hurt us. We haven't put off the old man. So let me just ask you a few questions about that. Are you still using maybe God's name in vain when you're talking? Are you using profane speech? Are you still watching things or reading material that isn't lovely and of a good report, like Philippians 4 tells us? Are you still giving people a piece of your mind when they make you mad about something? Are you filling people's ears, maybe your husband's ears, with vicious words? Proverbs 27:15 says, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. That dripping, 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 we're nagging, we're nagging, we're nagging. It's the same. So have we put that off? That old man that wants to rise up. I mean, just think about the last week, conversations that you've had. Is your speech, has it been edifying anyone you're talking to? Would you say to their face the things you said about somebody that wasn't there in your presence and you were talking about them? It's cutting in our hearts, isn't it, when we think about that? Because our flesh rises up. But we are in Christ. We're new. And we need to be laying that old man aside so that people are seeing the Lord Jesus in our and hearing him in our speech. I think sometimes we just need to realize that it's time to kind of clean out the wardrobe. You know how you do that every spring? You go through and you're like, oh, I never wore that. It doesn't fit anymore. And you just take it all to Goodwill. I think that's kind of why we're here this weekend. It is why we're here. It's for us to be able to say, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, look in my heart and see if there is any wicked way in me. Point it out to me so that I can confess it. And the blessing is we don't have to sit and just wallow in it and beat ourselves up and like, I did it again. I keep failing in that area of my speech. I keep falling back to that. But if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. I love that verse. I'm directionally challenged. You already know that about Walmart thing. But the east and the west never meet. if you go east, you're always going to be going east. I don't know if I'm going the right direction when I'm doing this, but you get my idea. And if you go, I am going the wrong way. Anyway, if you go west, you're always going to be going west. But if you go north, you're eventually going to be going south, right? But God said he removed our sin as far as the east is from the west. It'll never be brought up to us again. Confess it. Just get it right. It's so good to just confess your sin and say, God, and when you confess it, you call it what God calls it. If it was gossip, tell the Lord you were gossiping. If you were slandering someone, or if you gave someone a piece of your mind when you should have been gracious and kind, confess that. Name that before the Lord, and he forgives us. He's our Father. He loves us. And he says, you're back in fellowship with me again. It's beautiful, and it looks beautiful when we're wearing that. Number four, I am to be spiritually beautiful. The emphasis is on the word spiritually, okay? We look in the mirror in the morning, and we're like, oh, goodness, what happened? But look at verse 10. And you have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Verse 12. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy, that's you, and beloved, that's you, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, and above all these things, put on charity or love, which is the bond of perfectness. Can you see how beautiful that would look on us if we wore that every day? Being patient with each other, forgiving one another, telling truth, having a humble mind, being long-suffering and serving each other. That's what we are to be putting on. So I have a new wardrobe to wear. And right here, this is our standard. God's word is our standard. The world tells us that we should be looking like this, or wear this. But what does God's word say? We just read it. This is what we're supposed to be wearing on a daily basis based on the word of God. So I have a new wardrobe to wear. And you know where the dressing room is? It's prayer. It's getting in God's word. Where you just get alone with the Lord. And that's where you confess your sin. The Spirit of God will show you, and he'll tell you what's there. But while you're in prayer, you just say, oh, Lord, forgive me for that. And Lord, help me to put on charity today. Help me to have a humble mind. Help me to have long-suffering and meekness for your glory. It's beautiful when we wear that. And I love that verse 14 says, but above all these things, even all the things that were before that, the kindness, the humility, the meekness, the long-suffering, those are all wonderful. But he says, above all these things, put on love. Because if we're doing all the other things before that, and we're not doing it in love, have you ever had someone serve you and they were hateful about it? Yeah, that's not the beautiful wardrobe that the Lord gives us here. And just like a belt comes around and it brings all your outfit together around your coat or your sweater, like on the trench coat, love wraps all the other attributes together, and it makes it beautiful. We have to be wearing love with all the other attributes. I'm going to read a quote to you that Billy Graham said. He said, when granted many years of life, growing old in age is natural, but growing old with grace is a choice. Growing old with grace is a choice. Now, I want you to think about the old woman that you want to be. Did you ever meet a sweetest old lady? Like, oh, she's so cute. I wanna be like her when I'm her age. I'm in my 80s, and she's so sweet. I have a friend like that. She's just precious. How are you gonna get there? It's by living the Christ life every day of your life right now. Every morning you get up and you go to that dressing room and you put on these pieces of clothing. And you, as 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. To him be glory both now and forever. It's growing in grace as you age. So the next thing is, I am showing outward signs of aging, but inwardly I can be beautiful and strong. Now, let me stop right here and just say, I am not saying this. I have this girl who does YouTube videos. She's really, really good with organization and like things she gets at Dollar Tree to make them beautiful. It's amazing. And she ends every video by saying something, and it's just like, I tried to turn it off before she said that. I'm like, no, I don't want to hear that again. She says, and if anybody hasn't told you yet today, you are enough. Mm-hmm. No, I'm not. I needed a savior. I'm not enough. I'm not enough for anybody. I can't get myself to heaven. I can't help my family unless I'm applying the word of God to my life. I can't do anything. So good theology, if we know our theology, we will not be believing statements like that. When we hear it, it should just be like this big neon sign, like, no, that's not true. You are not enough. And so as we are aging, we can be beautiful and strong. How? In the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 says, though our outward, for which cause we faint now not, for our outward man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. My outer man is getting older. Every day you see a new wrinkle, you have a new ache and pain as you get older. But my inner man, because I'm feeding myself spiritually, I'm growing in my theology, I'm getting stronger every day. Spiritually, and I'm getting myself ready for an eternity with my Savior. And then the next one is that I am filled with peace when I am not demanding other people to fulfill me. Ooh, we want other people to make us happy, don't we? We find our peace in Christ. And again, when we realize that we are in Him and in Him we have been made. Scripture says we have been made complete. That means that my husband does not have the responsibility of making me happy. That means my son-in-laws, I have two of them, they're great, but they will disappoint me. I do not have to depend on them to give me peace. I have peace. As a matter of fact, this next verse tells us, and look at verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you were called in one body, and be ye thankful. Note that it doesn't say, go find some peace. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, you received His peace. And the Prince of Peace lives inside of you. So what we do is we appropriate what is already ours. And we can't be doing that unless we are walking in the Spirit. We've confessed our sin. But we have His peace. And nobody else has to try to pump me up and make me feel better about myself today. I have His peace. It is just like if I have a wardrobe in my closet. I have this classic outfit in my closet. And I'm thinking, okay, Sunday, okay, what am I going to wear? I don't know what to wear. Put it on. It's right there. That piece is already ours. And we're like scrambling, looking for other things to stuff into that hole of our lives. You have God's peace. Put it on. It's yours. Walk in fellowship with Him. All right, number 5. I am to be learning, obeying, and sharing the Word of God. Let's look at verses 16 through 18. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. So if we are learning, obeying, and sharing the word of God, what does that tell us? First of all, God's word gives me knowledge. I have the understanding of the Lord. It says, verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. When I am in God's word, I have his knowledge of who he is, and I'm learning more and more about him. I understand his character. And I love the word that it says, dwell in you richly. It's like not just getting a little, like I just said a little bit ago, like having a little bit of a devotional. No, it's diving deep down into God's word. And I should have put a classic purse up here. And it probably would have been some cute little, like a clutch bag or something. That's not what this verse is talking about. It's having one of those, my husband calls them pit purses. Like you have to dive down into the pit to the bottom to find the keys or whatever. It's all, he'll say, here, just where is it? That's how we want God's word to be in our heart. We want it to have it filled up in our heart, not just this little clutch purse of something. We want it to be filled in our heart so that we have the reservoir to go back to it when we are in a trial, in a crisis, when we need help for somebody else. It's all right there because we've allowed it to dwell in us richly. And then it's also going to give me purpose when I know God's word. It says that we are to be teaching and admonishing one another. Now, what did you read in your Bible this morning? You have one thought, something that you read this morning? How could you take that one thought and when your friend is telling you about something that she's experiencing or somebody else, it's like the Lord is going to take that one little nugget that he gave to you and allow you to say, I read a verse just this morning that talks about that or that would encourage you, and you're able to share that. You're to be giving it to somebody else, and that gives our lives purpose. Now, I'm going to stop and say, as I look at you, I can see that there are probably some of you that have kids at home still. You're still maybe homeschooling, maybe you have teenagers. You're busy. Your lives are still, you're in the carpool stage. You're doing all of those things. But think back about when your children were babies and you were like up all night long and all those days are gone. Can we say hallelujah, right? Hallelujah. So you are still busy. You are still having a lot of things to do and things that keep you really tied to your family. But there is still opportunity for you to invest in somebody else. And you know what that does for our heart? It encourages us. You think, oh, well, this will help her. But when you are able to share what God gave to you, you are blessed as well. So you be looking for something that you can give to somebody else. It's not necessarily a formal class that you're sitting down and you're teaching somebody, but it's over a cup of coffee. And you're saying, hey, let me encourage you. Or you're asking them, what did you get out of the scriptures today? Or you read a passage together, a psalm, and you say, you read a verse, I'll read a verse. And just share God's word together, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. Now, as if you do have a time where, like, maybe your children are gone now and you have more time to be able to, like, meet with a younger woman, this does address that as well. Who are you investing in? What younger woman could you rescue out of that little time from being with her children so that she can have somebody that can say, listen, I just want to tell you it's not always going to be this way. It's going to get easier for you. Hang in there. It's tough right now, but it's going to get better. If you're an adopted mother of adopted children, my girls have both adopted children, and I can tell you that those moms need encouragement. Reach out to somebody else that you know is going through foster care and encourage them. teach them and admonish them with the word of God. Use God's word. But if you have the opportunity to minister to another younger woman, you can teach her some things. And I've got a few things listed here that might give you some ideas. Teach her how to cook. Girls don't know how to cook today. They need to know how to cook. What little easy thing could you teach her how to make in your own kitchen? Bring her into your home. Teach her how to love her husband when he gets on her nerves. What should she do? How can you give her hope? Teach her how to train her children and how to sit in church. Teach her how to love her children and teach her about what God's word says about training them when they sit down, when they rise up, when they're walking by the way, and when they're lying down. Teach her those things. Teach her how to serve God. How do you read your Bible? How do you pray? All these things are overwhelming to a younger woman. Tell her what you've learned. And you know, just a minute ago, we read that we were to be of a humble mind. This next part takes humility, and that is maybe you need to ask somebody to encourage you. Be humble enough to ask for help. If you're struggling with any of the things that we've just talked about today, look out for somebody else that seems like they have joy, that they're wearing the wardrobe of Christ, and they are living out that Christ life. Humble yourself and ask somebody else to help you. And letter C, God's word gives me instruction. We are to be singing with grace in our heart. Do you ever just hum? People don't hum anymore. Just think of a hymn that is a blessing to you or a praise song that you know. Sing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And it's just being thankful, looking for things that you can just say, God, thank you for this. Have a grateful heart. Don't be critical. It's easier for my heart to turn to criticism than it is to praise. That's our old nature. And I'm like, no, I want to be thankful. And even when we're looking at our family, it's easy to be more critical about them than it is to be thankful and praise them for what they are. Some things change as we get older. Technology changes every year, right? Keep learning. Keep growing. Don't get stuck in the old ways of like, well, we never did that when I was a teenager. Well, it's probably a good thing. So keep learning. Keep growing. Learn new things. And just be thankful. Have a grace-filled heart. And I want to encourage those of you that are married to finish out your marriage with grace. Look at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And this isn't just for young wives. I think it might get harder as you age to do this, because you kind of get set in your ways and you kind of get a little cranky and it can be hard. But we need to finish out our marriages with grace. And this never changes. This is part of this classic wardrobe. Submit to your husband. You are not the head of your home. Anything with two heads is a monster. And anything with no head is dead. So let your husband lead. I'm serious. And that might be an area where you need to talk to the Lord this weekend. If you find yourself jumping up to say, no, you can't do that, or changing his mind about what he's decided about your children or something, that's not our place. Submit. And I think that it might be easier for verse 19 to happen if we did verse 18, because verse 19 says, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And I think maybe some of that bitterness comes when we are not submissive. And so eventually, you know what happens? They just give up. I'm like, fine, just take it. And then we say, my husband's not a leader. He won't lead us spiritually. And it might be because we never let him. So love your husband. Submit to him. Finish your marriage with grace. And can I encourage you just to still love him? Think back to when you first came together as boyfriend and girlfriend. Refresh those memories in your mind. What attracted you to him? You chose him. Why did you like him? I love going back and reading some of, like, my I have my diary from when we were dating, and I love going back to that. It just refreshes all that in my mind again and my heart. Keep loving him. Don't neglect your marriage in this season of your life, because you know what's getting ready to happen. If you don't have an empty nest right now, it's going to happen soon. And it can be very possible that you look across the dinner table at a man who has now become a stranger to you. So keep investing in your marriage. Leave the kids. Go on a date together. Go on a vacation. Go to couples prayer advance together. Leave your kids. Keep investing in your marriage. And remember that you started out with just the two of you, and that's how it's going to end up, by God's grace. And just enjoy one another. Have fun and make the most of those years. And verse 23 tells us, do everything with all your heart for the Lord and not for men. Because why? Look at verse 23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance. In other words, this is reminding us again, eternity's coming. So everything that you do, remember, you're going to stand before the Lord one day. And we're working for that day when we will stand at the Bema. Living a beautiful life full of grace is a blessing. It's rewarding. And you know what? This classic lady, you, can continue to go through this season of your 40s and 50s filled with grace. It's beautiful. Today is the most important day of your life. And tomorrow, if the Lord allows you to wake up, it'll be tomorrow. So guess what? Halftime is over. And now it's time for you to jump back into the game and finish the race. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for this passage of scripture that helps us to be able to age with grace. And I pray for each of these ladies. Lord, whatever the Spirit of God has said to them, I pray that they would make it right if they need to confess. Help them to make it right with men if they've done something against someone else. And Lord, that you would be glorified in this season of their lives, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.